It's easy to follow the master when things are going well. But when things doesn't go the way we want them to go, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And if we don't watch ourselves, very easily we can slip back to where the master found us in the first place. Now we are witnessing around the world. Right now our eyes are on Afghanistan. We see what's taking place, but it brings us to this realization. But Christ tried to tell us, and people who follow him say, if you be my followers, you'll be hated by men and you'll be persecuted. He told us up front. See, they will hate us because who lives in us? If people have anything against you or I, it should be because of our faith in Jesus. Okay? It should be because we follow Christ and we don't compromise in our life. And people don't like that. And so they come against us. But Jesus told you and I up front, man, if you'll change your death sentence that you have for your sin, if you receive my payment for your sin, man, and follow me, wow. Now, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to deny you. They'll do all kind of ugly things to you. But if you'll follow me and do as I have done, man, the reward is great. So our thought process for a moment, and we're going to go, that's Brother Paul up there. I didn't get to Paul up Friday night, and people thought it was kind of strange. I had a picture of a snake hanging up there, you know. We don't pass snakes around this church, okay? I just want to share that up front. Amen. Amen. And if we don't get to Paul this week, it'll be next week. But our mindset has to be Jesus and only Jesus. Amen. Yes, I mean, he redeemed us. He delivered us from our sins. We don't live where we used to live anymore in our life. Amen. Some of y'all ain't changed your address yet, I don't think. You know what I'm saying? And the days that he was sharing with the disciples, the apostles, look what they went through from the very beginning. You know, 11 of them was murdered. Only John is the one that died from natural causes. But it wasn't because they didn't try to kill John. But, you know, his purpose was different than Peter's, you know. John the Baptist was different, you know. We all got a calling on our life, but we have the same thing that Christ has called us to follow him. And this today is when the rubber really meets the road. I mean, it's like we might be able to slide by for a while and just kind of skip along, you know, not being that outspoken about our faith in Jesus. But now it's like shaking right now. Either we're for him and we share him and we love him and we follow him and he's our all in all, and every decision that you make is based upon the word of God. Would God approve of this, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm up to? Is my witness for the Lord, is it truly reflects his love, or do I just I'm just a daytime lover of Christ? At nighttime I do my own thing. You know, it's where, hey, shake off the old. Keep it away from you. Resist that temptation to fall back. Many are slipping. Many are stepping back to where they used to be at, and it's destroying you. You're going back thinking, well, I'm not as bad. Because, you know, it's easy today to find people that's worse than we are, right? I mean, it is. I know I ain't perfect, but man, look at this dude over here, and look at this dude over here. Well, we need to look at ourselves. That's the number one thing. You know, am I still in love with Jesus today as I was when we first met? And do I still get giddy when I come to church and I'm worshiping him? Or I open the Bible up. Do I just say, oh man, this is awesome. Man, thank you, Jesus. Or have we got to the point that it's something we have to do? Man, I need to do this. I got to make an appearance. So I have to do this. And Lord wants us to revive our relationship. You know, 49 years in that back row. 49 years of their anniversary. And many of them, Bob had 44, I believe. And Bonnie, 59. Wow. You know? But I know that speaking for our 45, you have to, the old coal furnace, you go downstairs and shake them grates, you know, get that fire going again, you know what I'm saying? It's a shaker, a stoker, you know. If you were rich, you had a stoker. We had a shaker, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Did you do that? Okay, yeah, we did too, okay. But you realize, I mean, it's funny, you went to bed at nighttime, and boy, the furnace was stoked. Boy, the best time to go to bed. Then you wake up in the morning, you know, and if you're like me, outhouse, you had to run outside, you know. It was warmer going outside than it was inside, you know. But you realize, man, it's colder in here, so you go down and you shake that, and the embers are still there, just covered up by soot, and you shake it, and boy, the flame comes up, and warmth comes again. And folks, that could be our relationship today of Jesus. Maybe we have too much ash on us. You know, we're still with Him, amen? We're still there, but man, that fire that we once had for Him, that, wow, that giddiness, man, it just kind of, the things of the world came in and took it away from us. We are so wrapped around so much evil right now that, man, we just want to get by. I mean, we get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to pray, but if you want to come get us today, come get us. I'm sorry. You know, we're getting our eyes off of the mission that we have. But when we get back in here, and I mean, I go back. I got an old Bible at home that my missus, that Carol bought me. Not missus, that makes it sound old. That Carol got me years ago. When I first read it, when I first got born again, I couldn't put it down. And it's a New Living Translation, so it's a lot easier to read. But I'll open it up and start reading, and it just takes me back to when me and Jesus first met. And I couldn't wait to get off work. When I was working, coffee break, I had a little baby Bible in my back pocket. I'd read it, you know. And it just helps me remember where he come from. It helps me shake off the ugliness of the world, remind me what He's called me to do, that He rescued me from my sins. And gives me the encouragement and strength to reach out and share with others. And what I've found really beneficial was, and sometimes you encounter the same people over and over again, and they have the same idea, or they have the same thing that they oppose you with. Well, find a Bible scripture. See what the Word of God says. And when they say, yeah, but I believe this, and they say, oh, I understand, but I believe this, let me show you. Like I did this past week, let me show you what it says here. And when they look at it, I say, now, will you show me where you're quoting from? You know, a lot of people quote, if they really want to get somebody, and the Bible says, eye for an eye. Does it say that in the Bible? No, eye for an eye, yes it does. But what, yeah, amen. What comes after that? Eye for an eye. Tooth for the tooth. But, see, we forget about the but. We got to bring that but in here, okay? But vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Amen. So, some folks never open this up. But how many movies have you ever watched in your lifetime? They're loading up their gun, their shotgun, they're cleaning up their swords. Hey, yes, it says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And that's all they say. And so folks have never opened this up. So, well, they're quoting scripture. And so they don't understand. And so they're going down the wrong path, thinking they're doing the right thing. Amen? Amen. But here we are. We read the rest of the scripture. Thank God we have, because it saved us a lot of fights probably. You know what I'm saying? But it says, but vengeance is mine, says this the Lord. Vengeance. See, God will cause those who come against us, He will pay them back. If we pay Him back, then it's over with. Number one, because God, even in His vengeance, He still has a desire that no one would perish. Okay? Now us, I mean, our vengeance would not be that way. I mean, if Kenny Wigley smacked me right now, knocked me back and ran out that door, I got two choices. I either can stay here, Call the sheriff's office. Hey, listen, Kenny Wiggins just smacked me. And he's running down the street. Well, he's walking fast, okay? All right. And I can let the law handle it. What's that? But I can let the law handle it, okay? But the minute Kenny leaves, I'm no longer in danger. If I go after him, I'm going for vengeance. If I catch up with him and thump on him, I go to jail. And so that's what we have to determine our mind. Okay, God leaves room for vengeance because he'll do it in such a way that people's eyes be open to see his love. Look at ourselves. We were his enemy for years. Look how he loved us. Some of us, he blessed you so much when you were a sinner, you had to come to him. Like, man, this has got to be true love. Amen. Amen. That's true. What's that? Yeah, I know. Just think that. And a lot of times we look around, we look at people or what we would call heathens. The Bible called heathens. Look how God's blessing them. Well, that will bring come to repentance. He works both ways. You know what I'm saying? He'll starve you out or feed you too much. One of the two. In order, only God knows what's the best way of going in. And so our heart has to be, oh, yes, they're coming. They're coming. However they come, I'm glad they're coming. But because of him living in our life, there will be those who oppose you and come against you. And God wants us to continue to love them. Think of that. Now, we're in Afghanistan, our brothers and sisters. We have Americans stranded over there. We have Christians, churches. I don't want to get in the political arena today, but we took our military out before we took our citizens and our people out. We abandoned them. I mean, it'd be like the city being surrounded by the Hell's Angels, okay? And you have law enforcement in here, okay? And we're all up in our SWAT team, we're holding them back, okay? And all of a sudden we get a call, hey, come home. And they pulled us out. And then we'll run the city. Wow. Sometimes evil knows no bounds, and evil uses all things. But that doesn't mean God's back is turned on them. You know, we have brothers and sisters going back in Afghanistan to rescue people. And we were blessed the other night. We'd be able to contribute to a fellow going in. And he helped start several churches in Afghanistan. He's going back in and helped bring the people out. He did all the undercover stuff, I guess. Some of the Tom Cotton, some of them have thrown people out. I heard once that our government was going to charge $2,000 a person to bring them back home. I said, well, you know, I'm not in charge of government, but if I got $2,000 here, bring one back. We'll worry about the politics later on. Here's a $2,000. Is that enough? You need $4,000? Well, I don't have $2,000. Here's $50. Put it towards that. Okay? And we'll let God deal with it. If they think they can charge more than what God has, they're wrong. Understand that. Amen? And we'll let them, but right now, we're going to deal with what's going on here. What we have belongs to the Lord. So, God, how you want me to use it? What's the best thing to do here? But may all this bring God's glory. I mean, can you imagine? Help me out, Carol. That one station weighs 20 million. Which one did you tell me about? Glenn Beck, because he's passed on, but his people, remember him, who followed him? Those who are in that circle there, in one day raised $20 million to rescue some of the folks from Afghanistan. Wow. Yeah. I thought Glenn Beck died.
No.
Oh, Rush Limbaugh. Yes. Glenn, if you listen to this, I'm sorry. I'm not a prophet. Okay. Yes. But $20 million, wow. And now a lot of Christians are sending money. I mean, hey, it belongs to the Lord. We'll do what we can do. But he says, you and I, we will be persecuted as you follow him. And we need to prepare for that, but we make sure we follow him as he told us from the very beginning. I almost touched base on some of the scriptures this morning, kind of renew our minds, like, okay, this has to be our mindset. And so when we're in our prayer closet in the morning, evening, afternoon, you hear something, let's guide our reactions. Now, I will say through all this, in case I don't get to it today, that God has given us the right to defend ourselves. Amen? Please understand that. And I go back all the time. I don't have the scripture written down, but Christ says, you know, one sword. You know, keep a sword. That means we can defend ourselves, okay? So, and he will guide each one of us. The Holy Spirit will, if we're listening to him, how to respond to circumstances. Amen? Remember Peter in the garden? He responded first right out of the physical. He grabbed his sword. He went, and he tried to take off Malchus' head. He was a press secretary for the governor. That's what he was. He got so sick and tired of hearing him run his mouth about Jesus that when they come to arrest him, and we're talking 600 soldiers came with him, remember that. They saw him, and he grabbed his sword, and somehow he missed and cut his ear off. And Jesus came over and stuck the ear back on. He said, those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. Otherwise, what has God planned? And we knew that he had planned for Christ to come into Jerusalem and to be crucified, right? He was messing up God's plan. Well, if we stay focused on his word and we ingest it every day, we'll know what to do when the circumstances come. Could be a time come that I'll speak to you. I'll lay my life down. Jim, can I use you again? We all have people in our lives that we want to see come to Jesus. And I imagine everyone here has somebody in your life that you would lay your life down for them, right? You would lay it down for them in a heartbeat. And we have to determine when that time comes. Now, this is a small demonstration, but I'm going to be robbed here a moment. Jim's son here is going to rob me for a minute, okay? He's going to put a sword to my head, my neck, okay? Or your uncle, or whoever it is. I'm just using Jim because he's tall enough to get on my shoulder. I was going to use Kenny, but I figured he might put it through here, so. But here he come, and he's going to rob me, okay? And I know this man. I know he doesn't know Jesus. I know he's got family praying for him. Man, you don't want to do this. You know, he said, give me your money. I'm going to kill you. Listen, God loves you. You know, you have my money, but you don't want to do this. You don't want to kill me. You know what I'm saying? Christ laid his life down for you. Understand that. This thing that's causing you to do this, man, Satan, he's trying to get you in trouble, man. So, man, I love you. I don't care what you do. I love you, and so does Jesus. If you think you got to kill me, I guess you got to kill me, but I'm telling you what, I'm not going to retaliate, you know. I'm not. I could pull right now and end this, but I'm not going to do this. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. Just turn your life over to him, okay? Next minute, he cuts my head off. Or don't cut it off, but boom, okay? I'm dead. Number one, before I hit the floor, I'm in the presence of the living God. Amen? But this man, the last thing he saw was a smile on my face, a peace over me, talking to him about Jesus. I just sowed that into his life. Now that is going to go with him no matter where he goes. He comes along, he gets arrested, he goes to jail. You think God's going to stop yet? No. He's going to bring somebody across his path in jail. If he goes to prison, he's going to see my face. And just think, as he calls upon the Lord to be his Savior, look at the rejoicing thing. Look what my life just did. Laying my life down for another. Cause this man to see the love of Jesus, the one who is headed to hell, who is going to pay eternity. I mean, what Satan would want me to do is and kill a man. The minute I killed him, he'd be in the hell. But being led by the Spirit, hear me, folks? Being led by the Spirit, okay, God, this is what you called me to do. I testify to him. And because of my life, I've done what Christ called me to do. Now, thank you, brother. And that's what that's how we got to look at things in our life. To be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, say, it's time or no, it's not time. Okay? Again, the last thing I want to convey to people is saying that we are lambs led to the slaughter. Now, I know the book speaks about that. Yeah, that was Jesus being led. But for us, we still have the right to defend ourselves because evil uses physical means to do what they do. Amen? But God will tell you, okay, this is it, Starkey. Or do this, Starkey. Or do the same to you. People in Afghanistan the same way. Some of them, they're being murdered today for Jesus, for his sake. And I just pray that they are standing there, boldly confessing their faith as they enter the kingdom of God. You know, and just think, the enemy sees this taking place. Wow. Also, they can see at the same time, 14 Apache helicopters dropping out of the sky. How they find this here? And they might get wiped out. Okay? I'll leave that up to God. That part of it. Amen. Many times he says, don't touch my anointed. Leave my people alone. He knows the plan and purpose he has. And may his will be done. Ours is to follow him and do what he's asked us to do. And in these days we're in, if you want to turn to Matthew, the 5th chapter. In the 43rd verse, this is Jesus speaking to us today, and it's still the same. We are his followers. And he says, now listen, guys. In verse 43 of Matthew 5, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you that you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and send rains to the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And that's perfect love is what he's speaking about. But he says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what he called us to do. Now remember, love isn't a feeling. Love is a choice. Now, there are a lot of different loves out there. I have a love for my wife, a love for God, a love for my children, and a love for my enemies. But he calls us to do that. We are his followers here. I want you to do this. I want you to love your enemies. Otherwise, I want you to pray for your enemies. I want you to pray for their eyes to be open. How cruel are they? How terrible are they? But that's what he called us to do. Okay? It takes me back to Brother Saul. Paul. When he was a Pharisee, how he's going around killing Christians for religious purpose. He thought he was doing the right thing. I imagine those in Damascus, as he was headed there, was praying, oh God, change Saul's heart, change his, open his eyes up, God. Let him see truly who you are. And what happened on the road to Damascus? He met Jesus. Saul becomes Paul. So one, it saved them from persecution, but it changed Saul to be a carrier of the gospel. One who was destroying Jesus now came to affirm him. Wow, that quick. If they weren't praying for their enemies, how would the outcome been? So we're not asked if we want to. He's telling us to do this, to pray for them. He says on Romans chapter 12, verse 17. I know they say, well, man, it's hard to pray for your enemies, Pastor. Look what they're doing. But one thing the Master never said is it would be easy to be his followers. And I'm just sharing with you what he said to do. Amen? Just sharing you what he said for us to do. In Romans 12:17. Verse 17 in Romans 12 says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him, and if he is thirsty, give him a drink. And to me, one of the best drinks you can give your enemy is the living water of Jesus Christ. To share it to me, our hearts can get, boy, man, they can go to hell. Look, what they don't. I ain't gonna talk to my Jesus. They can go to hell, and that's something that the Master wants us to do. Share the Word of God with them. And he said, feed your enemies. And you know, one time when you was taken to jail, your family had to feed you. Some countries still that way today. So if you come to the jail, Dan, brought you in the jail, boom. If no one showed to feed you, you didn't eat. Man. So he said, feed your enemies. Sure, they're restricted, right? They're where they're supposed to be at, wherever they've done, okay? They killed you, tried to kill people, whatever it might be. But he's saying, okay, you got them incarcerated now. I want you to feed them. What are you feeding me for? That's my family responsibility. They ain't got nothing to do with me. They hate me. They saw what I did. I run the family name. Whatever excuse people have for not visiting people in jail. But he said, well, here's a glass of water and here's a bite to eat. Well, why are you feeding me? Look what I've done. Hey, man, we've all done wrong. We all have. Sure, what you did was terrible. I'm not here to justify that, but here, eat and drink. There's a God in heaven that created you for a purpose, and he loves you. What that purpose is, you turn to him, he'll show you. He still uses you. He's willing to forgive you. I mean, what kind of God do you serve? I mean, you're feeding me. The whole world turned against me. They hate me. He asks us to do that. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah? 1 Peter 3:9. This shows us how we got to train ourselves to react in these days. A lot of different ways to react, no doubt. But whatever goes in will come out. And may we react the way Jesus wants us to react. I mean, I don't know about the lady, but fellas, you know how it is when you sit there and you watch a Rambo trilogy, three movies of Rambo. Yes, he's going to conquer the world. Boy, you're ready. You walk through that door, you go out in public. Oh, yeah, come on, man. I'm ready to conquer the world, right? Why? Because you spent spent about 6 or 7 hours watching Rambo. Ladies probably don't know what Rambo is, but he's Stallone was his name. But he played a Vietnam vet coming back. But anyway, you're ready to conquer the world. Because you just spent all them hours putting that inside of you and seeing what he's doing. And if you walked outside, chances are, somebody mouth off to you, you'd do a Rambo on him probably, okay? So if we're taking that time and putting the Word of God into our life, reading the Scriptures, saying, okay, Lord, okay, How you want me to react? Oh, you want me to love my neighbors, love my enemies, pray for them? Man, that's going to be our first response when we see it. We're going to have God's response and not our own physical response on how we treat people and how we react to things. Folks, you can still pray for your enemies when you're arresting them. Amen? You can still pray for your enemies if you have to take them out. Understand that. But we take no joy in removing our enemy. Understand that. Because that is a life that headed to hell, chances are, when they're removed. But sometimes that has to take place. But we don't rejoice over that. Our heart should be where we don't rejoice. Man, I had to stop that guy. Boy, my heart breaks for him. But I had no other choice. That's our response. Amen? That's how. But in 1 Peter 3:9. I think I said that right, didn't I? Okay. Verse 8, I'll start with. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, otherwise get along with people, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now, I was sharing last night, I can't remember what show it was on TV, but these guys always get into it, and they go, "Your mama." He goes, "Your mama? Well, your mama." And they insult their mamas back and forth. I know that back in the 70s, and maybe you guys might remember it later on. But exchanging insult for insult. He said, don't do that. Hey, you're a Jesus freak. Whatever, however they want to insult you. In school, four eyes and buck teeth for a while, you know? Wow. But he said, don't trade insults back and forth. Give them a blessing. Bless them, he says. Did he ask you to give a blessing? Or did he tell you to bless them? He told you to bless them. And the first thing we think of, they're saying this, doing this, and you want me to bless them? How can I do that? Oh, that won't change nothing. Well, but I told you, bless them, that way I can bless you. He goes back to, hey, listen, I find no fault with you, Jason. I disagree with you. You're wrong. I showed you that before. But I just pray today that the Lord will bless you with peace today. Just give you peace today. And I walk away, and Jason goes, man, I'm about ready to tear Starkey's face off. He blesses me. It'll make him think about, but what did I just do? I allow my Heavenly Father, who wants to bless me now because I did what He instructed. Now, He'll take that blessing from there. Amen? Bringing people into the light. And that light of Christ has to shine through us. You know, and we go back all the time to the cross where the Master looked down at us 2,000 years later, if I can put it that way. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. That's what He said to us. All the stuff they did, they were born in sin. Sin's been their life. But now the light's going to shine. That's where we need to be. Father, forgive them. Man, they don't know what they're talking about. I tell them about the Lord. I tell them about how He changed my life around, how He loves them. And now they fired me? They took my job away because I followed Jesus? Okay, Lord. I did what You called me to do. He's got you. Our son, he lost a job because he's a Christian. Years ago down in Virginia. Maybe some of you heard the story. But he got fired because the lady hated him. A Christian. And he would share the gospel as permitted. But just his reverence. I mean, Benny, and that's about 10 years ago, hon. Remember, 12 years ago? This is a youngster. He's got out of the Honor Academy in Texas, and he moved to Virginia, pursuing his bride. And he got fired, and he called me on the phone. And we prayed. I mean, it was devastating. But we all agreed, hey, God's got something better planned for you. So we didn't have no problem with it. Within 30 days, he got a new job at a place called Geico. Okay? And when we was praying with him, we said, hey, listen, someday that lady will come to you for a job. Well, a couple of years later, that newspaper company where he worked at 100,000 publication, went out of business. Think of that. And today we're blessing. Vince is way high up in the corporation of Geico now. I mean, it's just awesome. See what God has done. But he just stayed faithful. And he wasn't going to compromise his belief. And they tried to stop what God was going to do in his life. And he just stayed faithful to Jesus. And it could be he could start working at a car wash, washing cars. Okay, amen. But God sees our faithfulness. So, okay. Satan's going to snop you out. You know, Satan wanted to get Vince to get mad and curse God. It ain't going to work, is it? Move clear down here to Virginia. Here I am. Well, but no. He knew he was following the call that God had on his life. Amen. Yeah, that's awesome. So we have to trust God, and sometimes it'd be hard to understand what he's doing. But just trust that he has the best for us. A couple more scriptures yet. Luke 6:27. We won't get to Paul today, Carol. Let's just bring it together. Luke 6. Again, Jesus is referring to us again, reaffirming to Luke, the doctor. He says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Again, you're going to be my disciples? You're going to follow me? This is what I want you to do. And these days that we're in, folks, we have more and more people hating us. We have more people mistreating us. So we have a great opportunity to apply this Word of God to our life. And man, when God sees you doing this, it tickles Him. It blesses Him to know this hour of distress and the way that the world is upside down right now, that you are still following Him and you're still praying for those. You're not holding it against Him. You're still witnessing, you're still loving Jesus. It's the way that you live your life is giving a great testimony to those around you. And even though we might not see the seed grow that we're planting, we trust in the Word of God when He says His Word, which is His seed, will not come back void. It will do exactly what He's purposed to do. He just needs us to keep our frame of mind with Him and to love Him and share the Word of God. And then John 14:15. With all this that we spoke about, the Word of God, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. And so, we have to watch ourselves this day and age when we say, Jim, I know the Word of God says, but, and man, when we say that, whatever's coming behind it isn't something we want to follow. If you're saying, I know He says to do this, but I just can't do it. If you say, boy, I'm not going to do it, then we're rebelling against God's Word, right? These things that we shared today, that He shared with us, if we're not following this here, then we are in rebellion because He's called us to follow Him. We accepted His call, right? Told you up front you'd be persecuted, it'd be tough. It might cost you everything you got. Tomorrow morning you might wake up and you just lost your house. You just lost your car. You know, whatever is gone, it's taken away. Whatever, I mean, look how possible this is. As Christians, you're being tracked. Understand that. You're tracked through many different apps. There's a mark beside your name, follower of Jesus. And Satan ain't going to stop till he tries to crush the body of Christ. I mean, one little check mark, and you have 5,000 foreclosures come against houses. Illegal. But you're spending the years trying to fight it. Will we lose our faith in Jesus then? Will we turn back to man, all my life I worked for everything I got, and I'm following you, and overnight, my bank account, man, I got it nice and cushy. Now I'm making this part up, okay? You wake up confiscated. Boy, I got a good pension. Worked all my life. I got a good, decent pension now. Whew. Gone. The devil, he knows when we depend more upon ourselves than the Lord. We all can say amen that he will provide for us, right? He'll meet our needs. So we just need to be prepared in the days that we're entered into that anything can take place. Because this is the last hurrah. This is the last inning. Last at bat. Satan knows what's coming. So do whatever he can to steal your, not just your peace. If you're rooted in Christ, you can't steal your peace. But he'll come after your comfort zone. And when he does that, we'll see inside of us truly, truly what sin is. Jesus, and watch Jesus come out, man. You get to point A, boom. All that stuff you had gave you a headache anyway. Every time you leave home, you're afraid somebody's going to break in and steal it, you know? You don't have to worry about it no more. Why not? I have nothing. Amen? Amen? Just trust in the Lord, but be obedient to His Word. Like never before, and just consume it. These scriptures I gave you today, just contemplate. You read this chapter before and after to get a better understanding of what He's trying to say. Because His heart is that no one would perish. And there's plenty of people out there yet that can still be rescued. Amen? There's plenty out there, I think, got reprobate minds and they're done. But there's still plenty out there to be rescued. And as we share with them and we pray for our loved ones, God, to bring people across their path to witness to them as we do to others, man, we'll see a great revival taking place. We're going to see a great awakening. And then we're going to hear that trumpet. Ugly? Will it be our comfort zone? Yes, you will be. But you're going to be in the arms of Jesus, and He's going to guide us to His greatest victory yet, since the cross. Amen? Amen. Any questions about what I shared this morning? Again, I never stand up here trying to scare you. God has let me continue to prepare you, that you won't be caught off guard when it gets uglier. But again, we remind ourselves, this place isn't our home. We're just passing through. And that God's in charge of our life, we know that His will shall be done. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning. Well, I thank You for the reminder that I get my eyes off of myself and off the world and off of my physical response to so many things. God, let Your Word go first. That our reaction will be according to Your will, Father. That we'll do, that we'll say, that we'll speak, that we'll... We just be everything that You want us to be. And may we continue to realize everything that we have, Father, belongs to You. We're just using it here on planet Earth. Help us and guide us to use things in a proper way to bring You glory and to help others with God. And for those around the world, here in America, Father, may we stand strong with brothers and sisters. And when they're in turmoil, God will stand there with them. When Satan tries to knock him over, God will be there to brace him up, Father. Through Your Word, through prayer, and all that You've given us, Lord. God, we declare that America shall come back to You. We declare your word is true, that our loved ones shall come to know Jesus. Our children, our children's children's children, our inheritance is the perfect inheritance covered by the blood of Jesus. And their names shall be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They shall be renewed, Father, renewed. And for each one of us today, Father, we just say, come. Come and strengthen. Come and occupy more of us. We surrender everything to you, our mind, our thought process, our evenings, our daylight. Lord, your peace. Help us just absorb your peace. Knowing that you're in charge of our life, we surrender it to you. That you see my tomorrow, my next day, and Thursday and Friday. And that we follow you, we know your perfect will shall be completed. And may I bring peace to all. And yeah, we know your word. And your word was sent to heal us physically and spiritually, Lord. We declare today that anything that's in our bodies, anything attacking our bodies is not of God. We declare it to be void and be removed in the name of Jesus. That's trespassing on God's property, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That every organ we have to function properly. We declare a perfect blood pressure. That we have eyesight, perfect eyesight. We have the correct insulin level. That every organ, be it a kidney, a heart, liver, prostates, lungs, ears, eyes, they are yours, Father. And we declare they shall work properly. We refuse to accept sickness and disease in the name of the Lord. We are covered by the blood of Christ. And our body shall continue to function as we have breath to bring God to glory. And Lord, when you return, our heart's desire, you shall find us to be faithful to the end, bringing you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.